to call up the first slide here. I hope I'm not jumping in too much, but we have Jen Frost with us here tonight. She is the Northern Maine Director for Child Evangelism Fellowship, and she and her husband live down in Easton, I believe, and he pastors in Mars Hill at the East Ridge Church. And Jen has all kinds of hats that you wear. You're a mom, pastor's wife, and helps direct CEF, which is no small undertaking with that as far as in Northern Maine. And we've gotten to know Jen over the last couple of years as she has come on board with them and been involved, of course, at Wilderness Day Camp. And this has been quite an odd year, hasn't it, for CEF and for the ministry that goes on with the schools being closed and with just a different ministry at hand. And so it's been a challenging year. We were had her in for supper earlier, and we were just talking about some of those challenges. But one great thing I know about her is she has a great heart to serve and loves the Lord. And I've asked her to come and share about the ministry and what the Lord's doing in her life. So come on up here, Jen.
All right. Thank you.
Grace, grace, God's grace. That just keeps ringing in my ears. And just before I even start, just take a moment and reflect on that. Just God's grace in your life before we even think about the lives of others around us. But that moment when God's grace just overshadowed you, that's pretty powerful in its own sense. Yes. So I am flying solo tonight. I have a husband who's not here, but he's allowing me to be up here with you all, and I appreciate that. But I do lead Northern Maine CEF as their local director. I've been with them for about 2 years now, or just over 2 years, and it's been an interesting 2 years, starting out learning a lot, heading out to school and some different aspects. But I'm excited to be here with you tonight. I'm excited because you folks are involved with CEF as well, and I am just honestly a small portion of CEF. I wear a hat that says local director, but I cannot do my job without everyone else because I can't be everywhere that you all can be. And so I'm thankful to be here with you. I hope that I can be an encouragement to you tonight, but I also hope that I can challenge you as well in how we can reach the children of our communities around us. As I was preparing for tonight, I started reflecting on the past year, and it's been an interesting year, as many of you all know, because we've all walked through it in some way. We've all kind of been in the same boat, right? They want to tell us. But we've all handled it differently or had different things that have impacted us. What I've really thought about, though, was how God has been faithful through it all. He has, every step of the way, he has shown the next step for us, or he has at least comforted us when we really didn't know what to do or where to go or how to even feel at different moments. And I don't know about you, but there are still moments that I feel that way. I'm not sure what to do or where to go. But he has been faithful. And there have been difficult decisions that had to be made. For Child Evangelism Fellowship, everything stopped, but it didn't start back up either. So church came back into session in June, or we're still going online, but a lot of our ministries for CEF did not. Good News Club stopped because most of them were in the schools. And not only that, it was hard to figure out how could we do ministry with children safely with not knowing what we were up against. Last summer, we were able to do a little bit, little small group ministry, and so we were able to reach some children, but a lot of it's been by mail, or it's been through a computer screen, which I struggle with. I don't do as much of that. I want to be in front of them. I want to be with them. I want to see those little faces. I want to know, you know, it's a different world. But God has blessed us with we actually have Connie here this evening, who she has, she's been in some home clubs this past winter, right up here, one in Frenchville, another over in Fort Kent. And the one in Fort Kent really speaks volumes to me, because that is a home that is not a Christian home. Those children were attending Good News Club in Fort Kent before the pandemic. They had just started. And the club, obviously, when it shut down, so when it wasn't going to start again this fall, the parents actually approached Connie and said, is there any way you can teach our children still? And so that, to me, is just, that's a God story. You know, I mean, you don't normally get that. So I just appreciate her willingness to go into homes. And she's learning along with the rest of us. And so I appreciate that. The other thing I reflected on, though, is that back before the pandemic, in 2020, in February of 2020, I was out at Children's Ministry Institute, which is a 12-week training course out in Missouri that I have to attend for CEF, for my role that I'm in. And I was partway through it. But in February, I was doing school, which was all day, homework at night, but I still had to do Northern Maine things. I had to figure out ministry and what we were doing and make sure the club teachers had what they needed. But we also have a banquet that we plan every spring, and that still needed to be planned at that time. So I was reflecting on the fact that God had given me a theme for that banquet. And the theme was, there we go, reach a child, change a story. And I thought about that, and I thought, it's just, that's a good theme, because that's the heartbeat of Child Evangelism Fellowship, that sharing the gospel with a child, and the gospel changes. It will change you. And then the pandemic happened, and the banquet wasn't able to go forward. So I thought, okay, well, let's just tuck that away for another year. We'll use that another time. And so I did. I put it away. But God, I don't think God put it away, because it kept coming up to me over the summer, last summer. And it would just kind of, every once in a while, I would have this, reach a child, change a story. And I want you to see this here. When we look at these, what do we see? We see weeds, don't we? We really do, because that's, none of us want them on our lawn, right? They're not. But if they're out in the field, well, we can look. That's a pretty yellow field, right? But we do. We see a weed. But God really changed my perspective last summer, because even this part of it, we often look at as a weed, because when those seeds blow, they might land in my lawn, right? But what he took is, if I go back to this reach a child, change a story, this picture was the picture he had given me for the banquet. And it's a field full of those little dandelion puffs, right? That seed, I started to look into what that seed can do. That seed can fall just about anywheres. It can fall on the driest, hardest ground. And it doesn't even hardly need water. It can fall into a little crack in the cement, and a dandelion can grow. That seed has such power in it. It's resilient. And I thought, that's a really good banquet theme, right? So I just kept, so then this year, we got ready to think, oh, can we plan the banquet? And it got canceled again, because we still couldn't meet all gathered together. And I thought, okay, well, let's just tuck that away again. So then I started preparing for tonight, and it came back. Reach a child, change a story. And when it came back, I felt that small voice saying, that's your testimony. And I stopped in my tracks. I literally did, because I had never applied it to myself. as to that was what God was using in my life, that this was personal. This was beyond a banquet theme or an encouragement to others, and I hope that it is. I know I will never look at a dandelion or a dandelion seed in the same way. Still doesn't mean I want them on my lawn, but I won't look at them the same way again because I'll see all those seeds. And you're probably thinking, how on earth does that relate to your story, though? Well, when I was born to a mom who was 16 years old. My dad was a few years older. He grew up in a home that alcoholism was very much a part of their everyday life. And he was a very young alcoholic. To this day, unfortunately, he still is an alcoholic and battles that severely. My mom at 16 was one of 11 children herself and was unsure who her father was. So the home that I grew up in, we did not know the name of Jesus unless it was used as a cuss word. That was the only time we'd ever heard him. So for me, I really didn't know that that was a real person either. I had no idea. And so my mom was a good mom. I don't want to belittle just because she was young. She was a good mom. She did not participate in the drugs or the alcohol, but it was not an easy walk for her because being 16 and not having family support and not having the support of a husband, or and they weren't even married, but that father to help raise us kids was very difficult. And so it was a home that was just, we were not Christian by the least bit. We were really the family that you kind of looked at and went, those are the sorry ones. You know, you just kind of looked down and you felt sorry for them, but you really didn't know what to do for them. When I was in third or fourth grade, a couple of friends at school, they asked me, they said, well, do you want to just come to Sunday school with us one day? Because I did not like to be home. I'd go anywhere. It's like if I could go spend the night at their house, that's where I wanted to go. I didn't want to be home. And so they asked me to go to Sunday school. I'm like, well, what's Sunday school? But sure, whatever. Just tell me when, where. And so I went. My mom said we could go. My sister and I went. She was 2.5 years younger, and if I could have gotten away from her, I would have done that too. We didn't get along, but we're good friends now. You guys are going to know way more about me than you probably want to know. But went to Sunday school, and that was the first time I had ever seen a Bible. I didn't know what a Bible was. Like reading out of a Bible, didn't know there was a book like that. Hearing the name of Jesus, are they swearing at church too? You know, I mean, I don't know. But hearing that, and then from Sunday school, went up to the morning service, and we sat through that, and a message of salvation was given. Sin was explained. I knew when I heard about sin, I knew that that little girl's heart was not right. I knew the things that I had done, and I understood that. But what I really understood was that I was in a serious problem, because if I had sin, I did not want to live in that separated state that they were talking about. And the only way that I was not going to was if I believed in this person that they called Jesus, said that he was God's son, and that he died for me so that my sin could be forgiven. Well, it didn't take a lot of rocket science for me at that moment to figure out that that's what I needed. I couldn't do it myself. And so I did. When the invitation was given, I did. I trusted and believed in Jesus as my Savior. It wasn't once and done for me, though, because I went home and I just went back home to the environment that I knew, and we weren't at church every single Sunday, so I didn't have that constant discipleship or that the counseling to know that you're still going to mess up, you're still going to do things, but it doesn't mean that you're not his child, that you don't belong to him anymore. So anytime that I would go to church, Fortunately, they were a church that shared the gospel. Every single time I went, there was always an invitation. And so I would, every time though, I would feel that and I would be like, I know I'm a sinner. Jesus is the only way. I need to. So I would pray and I'd ask every single time. Eventually, as I got to high school, I didn't go to church any longer. My friends had kind of dropped off. They were doing different things. So I didn't go any longer. I hadn't grown. And I really, with trying to understand what love is, was a hard concept for me. I didn't really grasp love. And so I looked for love in a lot of the wrong places, a lot of the wrong ways. And just kind of put myself in places I shouldn't have been. And it wasn't until my senior year in high school that I met who is now my husband. I met him, and he was a Christian. And I didn't know that right away. I knew there was something different about him because he was much more polite than the others, and he was a little bit older than me, too, so I just kind of chalked it up to that. And he was cute. So that... You know, even if he was a little odd, he was cute. So that was good enough at that point. But he, one Sunday, one week, he said, do you want to go to church with me and my family? And then you can come over and have dinner with us afterwards. I'm thinking, yeah, sure, I've been to church before. But if it means I get to go spend time with you and I get to be with you, then absolutely, I'll go to church with you. So I did, but then... That day, there was an evangelist there. And I heard him, and he shared the gospel. And what do you think my heart knew? My heart knew I was a sinner, I'd fallen short, and I needed salvation. So again, I responded to the gospel. So by now, I should be really saved, right? But I still, it took, we got married, we were a short-term engagement. So we got married within a year after meeting. But after a couple of years of being married, I still struggled. Every time we were in church, every time I heard the gospel, I still had to, I just felt like I couldn't leave unless I asked Jesus to be my Savior. There was just the discipleship level of not, I mean, it's great to have the gospel, but beyond the gospel, we need to know that He holds us. He will never leave us. He won't forsake us. That if we confess our sins, He'll forgive us. That He's faithful and just. And those are all the things that we try to counsel the children with when we meet with them through CEF Ministries, is if a child comes to us and they accept the Lord or they have accepted Him as their personal Savior, we want them to grow. We want them to know the truth of God's Word and how it can change and impact their lives. I wish I'd had that. But after a couple of years, I asked my mother-in-law, you know, you can have conversations with your mother-in-law. So, but I asked her, I said, how can I know? Some people just seem to know. And she explained it to me. Thank goodness I asked, because at that moment, it was like, oh, so it's done. I'm okay. I still had work to do, but it wasn't salvation that I needed. It was a relationship that I needed to start working on. And that was when I knew my salvation was secure. If you had asked me a couple of years ago when I was saved, I would have told you that conversation with my mother-in-law. When I was saved, was that first time I trusted Christ as my Savior. That seed fell into that ground, and it was alive. It just hadn't grown yet. It hadn't sprouted. It hadn't shown yet. So now I can with confidence say it was then. It wasn't those years later. And then I think about the fact of, oh, if the hand of God was really upon me. All those years of growing up in an unsaved home, of going my own way, how the Lord had me and he had his hand upon me. He knew and he guided, and I don't even dare to think about where I might be had somebody not said, come to Sunday school with us, or heard the gospel. So let's, not going to bore you with every detail of my life. If you want to know more, you can talk to me later. I'm pretty open book, but I will share. I'll fast forward a little. So the goodness of God, that to come from a home that did not know Christ, to from a legacy of family members who did not know Christ, we have, I'm married 28 years almost, I think, and good thing my husband's not here, because last year I said it wrong. So. But we have two children. This is Leroy and his wife, Angel. They just got married this fall out at our new property in Easton. And he lives in Midcoast, Maine, and he is our oldest boy. He came along very quickly after we got married. He's a really trying to live a life that is honoring the Lord. He was our prodigal son for several years. We knew he knew the Lord. He had grown, and then he walked away. And so for about 7 years, we prayed and prayed and prayed for him. And this fall, he got married to this gal he had been living with for a while, and they got married, and they started doing a Bible study together all on their own. And I thought, it's back. I said, our boy's coming home. So that's a moment of rejoicing for us. The other boy we have is Harrison. And this is about a year old. This photo is a little, so he is almost 10. My husband Leroy is there as well. And Harrison came to us through adoption. So our oldest son was a senior in high school, and Harrison came into our world. So I joked earlier, and I said the Lord knew that we would get into trouble, so he gave us another one but keep us out of trouble. But we met Harrison when we were down in North Carolina going to Bible college. I was 35, and my husband was 40 when we went off to go to Bible college. And God just got a hold of our hearts. We both had full-time jobs. We were doing really well, according to world standards, serving in our local church under a great pastor. And the Lord just said, not anymore. So he said, you need to give up your jobs. You need to sell your home. You need to go to Bible college. And so we were like, oh, no, we want to go on the mission field. So, and our pastor was very good. He was like, no, you need to go to Bible college. We're like, we've been in church for how many years? And he's like, you need to go to Bible college. Well, we did need to go to Bible college. It was the best thing we ever did. But we met Harrison when we were down there, and he came home. He's a North Carolinian. But he came home with us. Would have never imagined that we were only taking him for 1 to 2 months until they found an adoptive home for him, because we were not adopting. That was not in our cards. And he was with us for 2 months, and things were going really slow, and then he was with us for 6 months. And I said, well, the only thing we didn't do was actually carry him in the womb, so I guess, how do you at this point say, is it God brought you into our lives? So then 4 years ago, we moved to Northern Maine. We are from Midcoast, Maine originally, but 4 years ago we moved to Northern Maine so my husband could begin the pastorate at East Ridge Union Church. And I'm very familiar with Pastor Lawrence had stepped down, and so Leroy has been serving there. And it was then that I began serving with Good News Club, with CEF Ministry. And I just loved having the opportunity to interact with some of these kids who I knew their home lives were just like mine. Maybe a little different in the fact of what was going on in the home, but they were just like mine. And the opportunity to share God's love, yes, the gospel, because that's what we want to share with them, but to love on them and to let them know that they are valuable, that they were created for a reason, for a purpose, and with purpose. that just tugged at my heart. And so when the opportunity came open for the local director position, it just, we prayed about it, and it just felt like it was really what I was supposed to do. And so God has given me the privilege to do that. So that one seed, the gospel shared with a little girl, really did change my story. You see, the seed of saving faith can take root in very young children, even if it takes years for the fruit to fully show. So sometimes maybe it wasn't real for them, but maybe it really was, and they just haven't grown yet. So when we share the gospel with children, our responsibility is to share it. Leave the results up to Him. We should definitely attempt to disciple. And that's children in our church. We need to make sure we can't assume that just because their mom and dad believe, that that child's heart has also done the same. So I do want to, there is a scripture that I would like to read. And it's Psalm 78, 1 through 7. And this is just, this is my heart for children. It says, "Give ear, O people, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from the old, things that we have heard and known that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from our children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and His might, and the wonders that He has done. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments." And some, just the pieces that ring out to me for that is that we don't hide the work of God from the kids. We need to tell them. We need to tell that next generation what about God and about who He is and what He can do in their life, and that He loves them. He created them. Okay, it is there. Let me get my slide. It's just black on this side. So, and then it's that the next generation might know Him. I might not have known the Lord had somebody else not intervened, because it wasn't coming from my family. My mom got saved after I did, a couple of years after I got married, I should say. And then why do we want to tell them? So they will set their hope in God. Not in anything else, but in Him, and that they won't forget who He is and what His commands are. There are many kids that live in homes like I did. There are many kids who live in Christian homes. But, you know, I know, as even as being a pastor's family, which we are, do you know, devotions don't always happen the way that we kind of in our mind think we want them to happen. So we have to train our children. We have to share that with our kids too. And so just every child needs to know, if we miss this generation, where's the next generation? And so we have to reach them. George Barna says, "Whatever a child believes by the age of 13 is in most cases what he will die believing." By the age of 13. So whatever they're being told, by the time they reach 13, in most cases, that's what they will go to, that's what they will carry for their life. So will they die believing there's no God? Will they die thinking that they're unloved? Will they believe that they're just a being by chance? Or will they know that they are loved and created for a purpose and with purpose, that they are loved and that they can be forgiven? He also says that the probability of accepting Christ is highest among kids under 14 years old. So here's a breakdown of that. This is a survey done, and it was several years ago that this was done, but it's the most up-to-date one we have. So this is of Christians, those who say that they believe Jesus as their Savior. Between the ages of 4 and 14, 85% of them accepted Christ during that window of time. So if 10% between the ages of 15 and 30, 4% after the age of 30, and then there was a percentage under the age 4 and under. So if you're in those smaller percentages, God's good, isn't he? Right? He broke through some of those barriers. But because we have so many other things in our lives already, sometimes we're not listening, or we don't want to hear, or we've already got all of those notions. So the window to reach a child, to plant that hope in them, is between 4 and 14. So God commands us. He says, go, right? Go, therefore. Make disciples of all nations, right? We want to share the gospel. We want to make disciples. Are you ready to go? I know I am. Sometimes we get held back. Sometimes I believe it or not, I do get shy. I get bashful. I don't want to, something like, anybody ever feel like when you go to share the gospel with somebody, the mouth gets dry, the heart races, and you're kind of like, you can think of anything else you want to do at that moment, right? It's normal. It's because there's an enemy who doesn't want us to do that. But I just want to share some opportunities that we have with CEF this summer that you could get involved with, you could pray for, you could support, you could volunteer for. One of them is, I want to make sure, Wilderness Day Camp. Don't have all the plans yet, but we are making plans. We have 4 camps normally each summer, and last year we didn't have any of them, and this year there's a lot still to figure out. The plan is to have Wilderness Day Camp, though. This buses, if how many of you have been involved with Wilderness Day Camp? Okay. So the children are generally bused in from, like, for the one in this area, it happens at Eagle Lake, and the children are bused over to the property, and they come and they play games, and they have crazy cabin times and activities, but then they have Bible lesson time, and they have memory verse time, and they have a missionary story. But during all of those times, they're hearing the gospel, but they're in fellowship with a bunch of leaders, a group of mentors who are loving on them and pouring into them. And it's a safe place for them. They can just, it's safe, it's happy, and it's just a wonderful avenue to be able to reach these kids. And it's a great place for our own children to be, because not only are they hearing the gospel, but they are, because you can never hear the gospel too much, because that helps us to be able to share it. But also, you want them to grow. You want them to learn even more about the Lord. So we are planning. We cannot do Wilderness Day Camp. Pastor Jack can't do it all on his own. He's a good missionary story teacher, but I don't think he wants to manage all of Wilderness Day Camp on his own. It's a big undertaking, isn't it? So there's all sorts of things that you can do to help out, and it takes everything from snacks to games to being a group leader, just being there, counseling a child, loving on them, being somebody that they can feel safe with. If Wilderness Day Camps do not happen, we will look at what else can we do in our communities. What could we bring to Madawaska? What could we bring to Fort Kent? Whether it's a 5-day club or whether it is a 1-day pop-up style party, but we want to do something. I personally don't feel like I can go another summer without reaching our children. It was hard last summer. I will be real with you. It was hard. We did some, but to think about those kids, and they need hope. And we weren't able to be there and do that for them. And so my hope, my prayer, and I know that God loves the children and he wants us to reach them, but we need to know that how he wants us to do that. So whether it's Wilderness Day Camp or it's 5-day club, that's what we want to do. Another thing that's back this summer is Christian Youth in Action. And this is training for our teens. It's at Camp Good News, and it is June 21st through the 26th. It's shorter. It used to be 10 days. It's 6 days this year. There are brochures in the back. But this is a time where your teens can come, and they can. There's three programs that they can be involved in. It's generally 14 years old to 18, 19, some college age. And the 14-year-olds and the first-time students, they usually come and they attend discipleship classes. They learn really about their personal walk with the Lord and how to grow in that. Sometimes a first-time student is ready for the other program, which is our 5-day club program. And that is a very vigorous program, but it's very rewarding because the students learn how to share an effective Bible lesson and how to teach a memory verse and how to lead a 5-day club. There's also a lifeguard program. If you want information about that, I can put you in contact with who knows more about that, because that's not my area at all. But so if you want a brochure, they're back there. But I recognize that not every teen can make it to Camp Good News, or that timing doesn't work for them. So we are also establishing what we call Echo Burst. And Echo is teaching our youth to echo the gospel. So it's taking elements of Christian Youth in Action, some sessions, and training them, getting them prepared so they can serve in your local church, so that they can do children's ministry with you. It's about all we can do to support you in your outreach for the children in your area. There's information back there about that too. You have to do nothing other than provide a space and let your teens know that this is what we're going to do on this day. We bring all the training. There's also a level of it that is for adults and could be adults and teens mixed. And it's Echo instead of Echo Burst. Echo Burst, what makes it special is that it is energized to a new level, because we all know teens need that, right? I mean, trust me, Echo is not boring. We will engage you, but the teens need a little bit more. They need a little bit different interaction and fellowship. So that's what differentiates the two, and it's just a fun training time for your teens. So those are some things that we would love to partner with you to do. Again, it's about supporting you as a local church. We are just here to provide resources for you and to give you that encouragement and the training. And so we can all better ourselves. I'm learning every day. I still have to go back out to Children's Ministry Institute because I got called home early. And I'm learning. I learned so much out there. And it's so specific to children's ministry, but yet we can do, you know, we all can be learning every day. So I just encourage you that it's a resource for you if you want it. I would invite you in June to come on out to our open house. It's June the 12th at our new property in Easton. This is a little glimpse of the property and looking from the office. January of 2020, God blessed us with selling the little church and house that we had in Blaine and blessed us with this property that is over 20 acres of land. This property is something that we see day camps at. We see youth day retreats. We see church picnics, time of fellowship. This is not CEF Northern Maine's property. This is the people of CEF Northern Maine. This is a property for all of you. And with that comes a big vision, though. So this year, we are hoping that we'll get picnic tables, a possible pavilion. We've got a couple of gaga pits being made, things that are there just to be able to bring people in, bring children. We have several communities around us that do not have a Bible-believing church in them.
we want to bring kids in, and maybe that will eventually plant a church in one of those communities, but because it's close enough for them. But you guys aren't that far away. You could bring youth down. You could use the land. You could do a church picnic. What might be even more intriguing is this, though. This is a longer-term plan where we'll have an activities building with a pool, and that would be a place where you could do training, or you could do an all-day youth event, and you could have time with your kids to teach them, where you want to have a few climbing walls and different things outside on the property, some trails. So it's just going to be a place that we feel like that our supporting churches and the people that are around us can come, and they can invest in their kids, in their youth, as well as bring the neighborhood kids in too. So I invite you to come out and see. You don't have to come. It's 1 to 4. The flyers are in the back. You don't have to come for the whole time. It's going to be very casual. Get tours around. Have any questions answered. But just come, because the picture doesn't do it justice. That's the building with skin on. One of the local tech students did that in Presque Isle in his program. But when you're there on the property, and Connie, you've been there. So when you're there on the property, you can sense it and you can feel the hand of God there. You just know he's put us there for a reason. He has blessed us greatly. And so that, if you ever want a work day, I can put you to work for sure. Okay. I do want to mention before I close, somebody had asked me earlier, I remembered. She asked me to mention that we have a wish list. We have... They're in our newsletter, and there's some on the back, but it's an Amazon wish list, and it's just something you don't even have to tell us that you bought it. It will just end up on our doorstep. She actually said, "Did you get it?" And I was like, "Sometimes there's a note in there that says who it came from." And this one didn't have a note in it. And I was like, "Yes, now I know who sent it." But we get excited when we have special deliveries because we don't know they're coming. But a lot of the things are things that we use for ministry. So they might be balls, or they might be prizes, or they might be different. It's a lot of things that we can utilize to do children's ministry. And it just helps us because we don't have to buy them out of our budget. And we've heard a lot of good feedback that people just like this because it's like, I know what I can get for you. I makes it easy. There are also a few other things that you couldn't get on Amazon that are on there too. So if you want to be interested in those, they're bigger items. Like, I couldn't get an outdoor pavilion from Amazon, so it's on there. But you know, I have a big God, so I wish big, you know. So the gospel is the goal, though. Beyond buildings, beyond property, beyond anything, the gospel is the goal. The gospel can change a story, right? Are you ready to be the one that God uses to share with that child, to reach that child and change a story? And that's my challenge for you.
Anybody have any questions for Zandy?